We're going to carry on our series, Secure, Not Safe. And rather than staying out looking at Gideon in the book of Judges, which we've done over the last few weeks, we're going to jump a few hundred years, probably about 300 to 400 years, to the book of Daniel, where we meet three friends in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They have gone to Babylon, which is the equivalent of modern-day Iraq. They've been taken there under force, and the people of Israel have been removed from the land of Israel. They've been taken into exile by the people of Babylon, and they've gone into kind of slavery, into service there under the king called Nebuchadnezzar. And in chapter 3, we read that Nebuchadnezzar builds this massive statue of himself and makes it a rule that everyone needs to bow down and worship this image that he has erected of himself. And throughout the area, throughout the land, people, when they hear certain sounds, they need to bow down and worship. And if they don't, there's the threat of being thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, before we get an opportunity to read this passage for ourselves, it'll come up on the screen and you're able to read it for yourselves wherever you are, I want us to just jump back to an image that Emma Worrell from Open Doors put up on the screen when she was with us a few Sundays ago, where in North Korea, we saw an image of some North Koreans coming up in rows and bowing down before statues of their leaders, their current leader and their previous one. And it just made me realize when I was looking at this passage that this isn't just an ancient narrative of people being forced to bow down to an idol under threat of being hurt or being imprisoned or being killed. This is a current modern day reality for many, many Christians around the world. And I want us to look at this passage and think, well, let's pray for those who this is an actual reality for them, an actual choice for them. But also, let's pray that God will help us learn from it. We, in the UK, in Chalfont St. Peter, wherever you are today, it's highly unlikely that you will be under threat of your life for to bow down to something or to worship something or to compromise your faithful following of Jesus for something. You're not going to be threatened by losing your life, but and quite possibly you're not going to be put in prison for it. But I recognize that there are challenges that we face to compromise what we believe about Jesus and how we live our lives for Jesus and with Jesus. It might be that we are challenged to compromise on what is morally right or wrong, or what's accepted today and what isn't acceptable. It's that is a real challenge for us today. And if we go against or believe something different to what the rest of the culture believes, we could be cancelled, we could be sidelined, we could be labelled a bigot or something like that. These are possible things that are a bit more close to home than bowing down to a full statue. Challenges like giving our attention and our worship, our focus, our devotion to things other than God. These are things that are real for us. I wonder what the idol, the draw, the temptation to give your focus or your worship is for you. What is it that you're tempted to compromise on rather than following wholeheartedly and fully for Jesus? What is it that distracts you from that? What idol is it? You might not be threatened if you don't go after it, but what is it that is in that place of an idol that God's by his Holy Spirit is going to want to speak to you about today? I encourage you to look through the passage. It'll come up on the screen, but I much prefer to have a paper Bible rather than just reading it on the screen. You're able to take your time over this. This is a pre-recorded service. You can press pause. You can have a think through individual verses as you read them, and ask God what he's saying to you through it. Some questions will come up afterwards, and just take some time to think through those questions. What is it about the faith of these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that challenges you or inspires you? What is it that encourages you about God from this passage? What is it that maybe scares you in this passage or challenges you in this passage that you need to pray about and ask God to speak into that situation or that fear? After a while, I'm going to come back on and share some just five challenges or encouragements, inspirations that I get from this. Have a really good time looking at God's word together or by yourself, together with Jesus, and prayerfully engage with it. God bless. So welcome back. I wonder what God was saying to you as you read these verses from Daniel chapter 3. Maybe you're watching this as part of a group, part of a household or a family unit. Maybe you're watching it by yourself. However and whoever you're watching it with, can I encourage you to share some of the thoughts that that you noted down or the things that came into your mind or that you sense God saying to you through this passage? It's so much better for us to note things down and share them verbally in community. We will grow much more effectively as disciples as we share them within community. So if you're within community at the moment watching as part of a group, do share those thoughts now. Press pause and share them now if you haven't already done so. If you're watching this by yourself, why don't you just press pause and write these things down, the things that you got from the passage, what God was saying to you, what you sense God say to you. And then maybe after the service, you want to just share that with a friend or give them a call, send them an email or a message, and share with them what God was saying to you through that passage. I just want to share five quick things that I've been challenged by and encouraged by, inspired by from these verses. First of all, I'm cheating a bit with this because I read from chapter 1 before I got to chapter 3 in Daniel. And I see in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that Daniel had made a resolution or resolutely made the decision not to compromise on his holiness when he was in a place of challenge and where he may be called to compromise. Daniel had pre-decided. And by inference, over the next few verses, we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of Daniel's decision group. They were part of the community that Daniel was in. And in chapter 1, we see that all four of them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all make that decision not to defile themselves by eating the king's rich food. They choose to follow a strict, very healthy kind of diet. And they have decided then to keep themselves pure, holy living for God. And this pre-decision, I think, is something that really challenges me, but also really encourages me. They made a decision then, on one day, so that they would wholeheartedly follow God. They wholeheartedly will live for God. And they made that decision one day so that someday in the future, when a day came, when a challenge came, when the pressure was on, they had already made the decision that they were going to follow. They'd already decided what direction they would go. They'd already decided what they would say, almost, kind of when someone challenged them to do something or say something or be something that went against God's way of living. They had pre-decided to keep themselves holy for God and worship him alone. Maybe today you and I need to make some pre-decisions or remember some decisions that we have made so that in the future, in the next few days or in the next few weeks or months, when a challenge moment comes, we can go back to the 4th of February 2024 and say, on that day, I predecided to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, fully devoted for him. I predecided it then, and in the future, when that day comes, we can go back to the 4th of February and say, I made a decision with God that day that I will not compromise on my morals. I will not compromise on the way that I'm being called to live. I'm going to follow God's way. I encourage you to have a think about and to pray through what decisions God wants you to make today. The second thing is that these guys, these three friends, were secure in their conviction, yet they weren't arrogant with it. They knew the decision that they had made. They had decided to follow God's way and live for him wholeheartedly and be holy for him. Yet they weren't arrogant with it. They weren't trying to cause offense. And this is just a really subtle thing, but as I was reading through it, I noticed it, and it's helpful when we're looking at scripture and prayerfully looking at scripture, especially to notice what you're noticing and what God is highlighting. And I noticed that in verse 16, they still address King Nebuchadnezzar as King Nebuchadnezzar. They don't call him a funny name. They don't try to insult him. In verse 17 and verse 18, they're addressing him with his title, Your Majesty. Now, these friends are so clear in their conviction, yet they're polite. They are they're confident, but not cocky or arrogant. They have a conviction that could cause offense, but the manner in which they address the king is not seeking to cause offense. Yes, in the next few verses, in verse 19 onwards, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar really takes offense. He really kind of loses it, and his hatred for them kind of grows. But they, through these, the way they address him, that they're clear, yet not arrogant with things. And sometimes I think we can be clear, but the way that we share things is clearly arrogant or clearly wrong. And people will easily take offense because we're trying to cause offense if we're honest. And actually, God's challenged me to be secure, so secure in the convictions in the teachings of his words, but not to be arrogant with it, not to be causing offense deliberately by it. Still sharing, still declaring it, still making that statement that, I'm not going to compromise on this, and I'm not going to water things down. I'm not going to live it in a different way, but I'm also not going to try and cause offense to you. The decision might cause offense to you, but if you choose to take that offense, then that's your choice, but I'm not trying to cause that offense. That was something that God spoke to me about. The third thing is that these three friends have absolute security in the power and ability of God. They believe that God could and would deliver them. And they make a stand and say to King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 17, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They knew that God was able. And I wonder if we don't take a stand, or we stutter at stepping up into security at times because we don't believe, or we have faulty faith, or kind of stuttering faith in the belief that God can change the situation or God can turn up. On Wednesday, on Wednesday a couple of weeks ago now, I was on the street just speaking to people and offering prayer. I went up to this one guy and we were having a conversation, and it could have been a conversation that it was just listening, caring, and passing the time of the day, and then moving on. And I had that moment of, do I offer prayer, or do I just listen and then move on? And it was a moment where, do I actually say, is there anything I can pray for you? And I thought, okay, well, in this moment, and it was as if things kind of slowed down a little bit around me. In this moment, I had to make that decision. Do I believe that God can and will make a difference in this guy's life? Do I believe that when I offer prayer, it's going to make a difference? And I had that this kind of slow motion kind of thing where I had to decide, do I actually believe it? And thankfully, I did decide I do believe that God can make a difference. But it was that kind of moment of decision. I believe that God is able to make a difference, and therefore I'm going to offer to pray. And we prayed for him, and we prayed for healing in the situation, and we're trusting that God will bring healing for him. I wonder if you this morning have the same belief as these three friends and are secure in it, that verse 17, the God we serve is able. Number four is, I've been really encouraged in this passage that God is with these three friends. I love the scene here. King Nebuchadnezzar has got really, really kind of heated up and angry, and he binds the three friends with strong ropes, and he's got some strong soldiers doing that. He gets the furnace hotter and hotter and hotter, throws them into the furnace. And it's so hot that the men throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace burn up as well. And King Nebuchadnezzar is sat there just watching. And then he notices another person in the fire. And it's absolutely wonderful just kind of to picture the scene. Verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? And they replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Now, I just love how Jesus, another kind of theophany from a few weeks ago, can you remember? A theophany or a Christophany, an appearance of Christ before his incarnation at that first Christmas. It's another appearance of Christ. And he's there in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love how Jesus doesn't swing in on a rope and pull them out of the fire. He doesn't just send rain and put the fire out. But what he does is he presences himself with the people in the struggle that they're going through. He chooses to go into the situation, into the furnace. And I think that's an even bigger miracle, that God himself doesn't just do the rescue. He does the getting into the mess of people's situations. He gets into the storm. He gets into the furnace. He gets into our tricky situations tricky situations and challenges. Time and time and time again in Scripture, we see this repeated story of God's longing to be with people and God presencing himself with people in situations. And I just want to encourage you that whatever storm you're in, whatever situation you're in, whatever furnace you're in, whatever mess you're in, I just want to encourage you that God is there with you. And my prayer is that you will know that now, not just knowing in your head, but knowing and experiencing the presence of God, the peace-bringing, perfect, powerful presence of God with you by his Holy Spirit. And that whatever ropes are tied round you, trapping you in that situation, that they will be freed in Jesus' name. like the ropes for these guys weren't on them as they walked around in the furnace, not getting burnt. I pray that the flames of the furnace that you're in, or the wind and the waves of the storm that you're in, to use a different analogy, that they will not harm you, but the presence of Jesus will protect you. I pray that God will make himself known to you, that he is with you. And this fifth thing that I've been challenged and encouraged and inspired by from this passage is that the presence of God and the faith of these three friends causes Nebuchadnezzar to recognize the holiness of God and his might and power. In verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar approaches the opening of the blazing furnace and shouts, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." So they leave, and they seem to not be burnt or even smelling of smoke. And I love how their faith and security in God and the presencing and the rescue that God brings, that leads to someone recognizing who God really is and how mighty he is. And I've just been challenged in the time leading up to Narnia and our 250th year, and are seeking to see 250 new believers of Jesus in our 250th year. I'm just challenged and inspired by the fact that if we were to grow, if just a few of us maybe were to grow in our security that God is with us, and that God is able, and that we have pre-decided to be wholeheartedly following him, and then God rocks up and presences himself with us, I'm just inspired by the fact that that has a big impact on King Nebuchadnezzar. And if we as a church family, or if just some of us, I would love it to be all of us, but even if just some of us grew in that security of faith and wholehearted living for Jesus, I wonder how many people will recognize this year, through our example and witness, whatever we're going through, I wonder how many people will recognize that God is God Almighty, and he chooses, because he loves the people he's made, he chooses to be with people and to show his peace and presence and power. Maybe you've got things written down that God has been speaking to you about. Please pray through those things. I'm going to pray through some of these things and pray that God will meet with us by his Holy Spirit now. Fill us up with his faith, with faith in him, and help us to live fully devoted for him, secure that he is with us. Let's pray together. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We thank you and praise you that you are with us, that you are mighty. Thank you that you are able to deliver. You are able to rescue. And I thank you, God, that you are with each of us, whatever situation we're in, whatever storm or furnace or mess or tricky situation, or even in good situations, you are with us. Thank you that that's repeated time and time again in Scripture, that you are with us, and your longing is throughout the whole of Scripture, and even now, your longing is that we will be with you and know that we are with you. Thank you that you are a relational God. Thank you that you are an almighty God. You are the God Almighty, the Most High God, as Nebuchadnezzar declared. And we pray, Almighty God, that you will reveal your power through your people in the situations that they're in. Presence yourself and reveal your power. Bring your peace, not just for our good and our own rescue, but for people to see and know that you are Lord, and that they can I declare that you are the Most High. God, we pray that we will make a decision today, that when times might get tricky, that we can go back to today and know that we've decided on the 4th of February, 2024, to live wholeheartedly, securely with you and for you. In Jesus' name, amen.